This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. For people brought up speaking English, it may seem like a perfectly natural language, but there are a lot of quirks that can make it difficult to learn.
There's the spelling. Think of the letters G-H together. They can sound like a hard G, like ghost, like an F, for some reason, like rough or enough, or be completely silent, like in through or bought.
Our next guest says it goes way beyond spelling, though. There are a lot of ways English is unique, especially among its European cousins, in part because of its unusual history through the centuries in England.
John McWhorter joins us now. He's a professor of linguistics at Columbia University, and his books include What Language Is and The Language Hoax. John, welcome back to the show.
My pleasure.
Well, when I saw the headline of your piece on how odd the English language is, I immediately thought of spelling. That's the obvious thing. But you write that it goes way deeper than that. So what are some of those other weird properties of English that we might not be aware of?
Yeah, a fish don't know they're wet, and so we just talk, and if anything, it's other languages that we see as odd. But as European languages go, in particular, English has a very odd history, and it is partly that we are speaking a language that is profoundly impacted by languages that most of us don't know much about, and that is Celtic languages. There were languages like Welsh that were spoken in England before the Anglo-Saxons came, and the way they spoke English reflected the way their languages worked, not in terms of words, but in terms of the grammar, in a really heavy way. And linguists have begun to realize, especially over about the past 15 years, that an awful lot of what seems like normal English to us would have seemed like very strange English to a speaker of Old English, because we're speaking English through Welsh. And then after that, when the Vikings invaded, not only did they invade and make people uncomfortable, but they spoke Old Norse, which was different from Old English. And they were adults. They were mostly men. And they would never have learned to speak Old English perfectly, but they married English-speaking women. And people grew up listening to one parent speaking basically bad English. But this is a time when there's barely a such thing as school. Most people are illiterate. There's no such thing as media. And so this funny way of speaking didn't just kind of get washed down the drain. It didn't become just a kind of a statistical flutter. It became something that was part of how you learned how to talk. So after a while, English became much more like the English I'm speaking now, which is a much easier language than Old English in many ways. Old English had grammar a lot like Latin. Modern English has grammar nothing like that. It has a lot fewer bells and whistles. And that's because of Vikings basically screwing the language up and passing it down to us so that we're speaking that now. And then finally, there was the what I call in the article a fire hose spray of words from French and Latin especially, such that we have so many words where we can say things in different ways that come from different languages. And so it's not that any language doesn't have different ways of saying the same thing. But in our case, it's often that, for example, you'll say help, and that's from English. You'll say aid, and that's from French. Then you'll say assist, and that's from Latin. And those stack in terms of formality, because French and Latin came in formal context, and Latin in an especially formal context, because it was mostly through the printed page. So in terms of what English is like now versus what English was like 2,000 years ago, it has had quite a journey and experienced quite a lot of change, more so than most European languages have during that time.
Right. And when we look back at Old English, for all intents and purposes, for most of us, it might as well be a foreign language. Is that common for other languages where the older forms are so unrecognizable?
Not to that extent. And so, for example, a French person does not look at Latin and see a version of their own language, but it's quite clear that their language came from that language. Looking at what German itself looked like 1,500 years ago, it's certainly not the language of today, but it's recognizable and a German speaker can pick their way through it. Then there are extreme cases where, for various reasons, Icelandic has changed unusually little in its basics since it was Old Norse, so that Icelanders today can still read without too much trouble things that were written so very long ago. Whereas we look at Beowulf, and it's written in something that we can only academically recognize as the language we speak, because the vocabulary is so completely different, because the way the grammar works is so completely different. That's weird as Europe goes. Now, the truth is, and there's already been some blowback from the real professionals against my piece, it's arbitrary to say English is weird compared to the 7,000 languages of the world. And that's not what I meant. There's an extent to which when you write for the media, certain things are going to get somewhat oversimplified, especially in terms of what something is called. That's just natural. But in terms of languages in Europe, English is definitely a very interesting story.
We're talking about what makes English different and unusual with John McWhorter. And John, as an English speaker who's tried, and I'd say mostly failed, to learn European languages, one thing that seemed weird to me was, what? Tables have a gender? Dogs have a gender, mm-hmm. whether they're male or female dogs? There's these gendered changes, things in different languages that we don't have. Actually, we're the odd ones out, right?
Exactly. And so we try to learn other languages, and we think, these languages have arbitrary gender. But really, the proper way to think of it is, our language doesn't. Because really, if you're part of the family of languages, the brood that English is, you're really supposed to have arbitrary gender if you're one of the European ones. It's a group called Indo-European, and as you might be able to hear, there's a European bunch, and then there's the Indo bunch, which are spread out eastward of the homeland of this group that was probably in what's today Ukraine. And in the European group of those languages, English is the only one that doesn't have those arbitrary genders. Now, you do find some Indo-European languages that don't eastward, but it's just some. And the main point is that in Europe, that doesn't happen at all. So English is unusual, and that's because of the Vikings. The Vikings came along, and they had their own arbitrary genders in Old Norse, and the way they spoke English was just as we would expect with the way people learn languages today. They just chucked the arbitrary gender anyway because you don't need it to communicate. So here we are today. We don't use that in our language, and we see as exotic when we have to pick it up for Spanish or German or actually just about any European language other than Finnish and Estonian and a few others that aren't part of the Indo-European family. But really, we're odd. English is very queer in that way.
Another way we're unusual, we have no really close relatives, not to the extent that other languages do. Really, we don't have a sibling language?
Yeah, we don't have one in the way that, say, a German speaker does not really have to work all that hard to master basic Dutch, and they can actually glean a lot of Dutch conversation. English doesn't have that, unless you talk about other kinds of what most of us would think of as English. And so with Scots, if you're listening to true Scots, you can only be getting about half of the signal. But in terms of a language that is part of what is considered a separate nation with a completely separate history, we don't have that because of our bastard vocabulary. Most Germanic languages have mixture, but English is so mixed that we have a situation where if we learn, say, a Romance language, then a lot of the words are familiar to us that are high. And so the words for things like television or police or presentation, that's easy, but then we have trouble with the basic words. If we try to learn German, the basic words for things like bread and fish and milk are easy. But then once you get to the words for things like present, past, etc., it's harder. We end up missing those Romance words. That's because we're a mixture of the two things, which means that we can't listen to a language spoken in another country and think, there's what we are except different. The closest to it is a language called Frisian, which is spoken in some places in Northern Europe. And really, if we listen to Frisian, we can barely get a thing, because if Frisian is like anything, it's like German and Dutch, which is them and not us.
So our short, simple words, and as I understand it, a lot of our swear words probably came from the Angles and Saxons and maybe the Vikings, and you were alluding to this earlier, our highfalutin words would have come from the Normans invading England and then are importing Latin and maybe Greek.
Exactly. And so we have this bifurcation, which is neat. It's a very interesting story, but it means that we're lonelier in our way. I have always envied the fact that for most Europeans, there's some language, and probably several, that they can learn where they don't really have to step too far out of their comfort zone, Germanic languages or Slavic languages. But for us, there's no language like that. If we have to learn to speak something else, we have to really take a deep breath and drink some coffee, because we're unique among the languages that we're related to.
Another weird quirk, we raise a cow to eat beef, we raise a pig to eat pork, and that was maybe because, I think you wrote this, the Anglo-Saxon servants were killing cows to serve beef to their French overlords.
Yeah, and so that's why we have that weird little difference. You know, why don't we say we eat pig? And so we have these levels that come from different languages. And I always like to specify, it's not that a language that hasn't had all of that contact with other ones doesn't have levels in terms of how you use words to refer things. And even in English, in Old English, we are aware of four or five words that, as far as we know, meant understand. You know, there's one that means under, grasp, et cetera, these variants on the theme. We can't know how those words were processed by an Old English speaker. Almost certainly, they had different shades of meaning, and one of them would have meant more like what we phrase as get it, whereas the other one would be more like what we phrase as to comprehend. So any language has these sorts of things, but it's the mongrel history of ours that makes English kind of fun, if you think about these things, but also means that it's harder to learn other languages.
And you write that some people have made the argument, because it's a mongrel language and has all these different influences and maybe shades of meaning, it's a richer language. You can do more with it. You don't buy that, though.
No, I don't know what the metric for that is. It's definitely true that a written language has a larger recorded vocabulary, because you can preserve words in amber because of the printed page. So there's no doubt that if there's a language in the rainforest and you could actually record every single word known to all of its speakers, there wouldn't be as many as there are in English. But when you get to whether English or Russian is the richer language, even if you wave away the fact that it's very hard to determine what qualifies as a word when you're counting them, I am unaware of any really empirical study that would show that, say, English is richer than Spanish. And it certainly doesn't happen because of the mixture, because, again, it's absurd to think that somebody speaking Old English in 500 AD only had one way to say help. They had a way of indicating the difference between help out and help and give assistance, because we've never known any human language that didn't have distinctions of that kind. Nevertheless, the mixture does create an interesting history for our language and create the weirdness that I'm talking about. But English has spread around the world not because there was something flexible or flinty or even accepting about it. Russian or Inuktitut could just as easily have spread around the world. English spread around the world because the English, for better or for worse, were very good at colonizing and imposing their language. And so here we are today. It's tempting to think that the reason this language is spoken in so many places is because it doesn't have bristling paradigms of conjugation tables for its verbs, and it doesn't have arbitrary gender. But, you know, look at what Russian used to be, which was some obscure Slavic tongue spoken in one place in what is now Eastern Europe, and now has been imposed on speakers of several hundred languages, all of whom speak it as if they were in Moscow. And yet Russian is so hard that, at least from the English perspective, it can often seem almost unlearnable. Any language can take over the world. English happened to have a particularly potent colonial power behind it. But that doesn't mean English isn't still interesting in itself.
John, thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, sure.
That was John McWhorter, linguistics professor at Columbia University. His piece on the English language is linked on the Central Time Facebook page.